What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to Marriage Mondays here on the Gravity Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris.
And I'm your other host, Jamie. And today we're going to be talking about being equipped for the storm.
You know, folks, we've talked about storms before. And I don't know, I appreciate a storm when I'm inside my house with a hot cup of coffee or cocoa, watching the kids be outside freezing or whatever they're doing. I don't know. But the reason why we're bringing it up again is we thought, you know, we had a specific event that took place that we're going to share with you here in a second. And then also just, I mean, over the last year, we've been through a storm and we have friends that are going through storms. And so we just feel like this is really relevant. What can we do when we're in the midst of hardship, and how can we work through that to get on the other side of it? I don't know, Jim, what do you think? Do we give this a shot?
Absolutely. Here we go. So today, as we were prepping what we wanted to say, we were reflecting on a recent track meet that we went to. And it was our daughter's first track meet. And it's spring. So what does the weather do during track season, Chris?
It rains. Well, it's always windy, too. It's going to be windy for sure. And it was windy that day. And it doesn't always rain. But on this day, it decided to rain. And actually, it didn't rain, did it, Jamie?
It poured. It misted, and then it rained, and then it poured.
Yes, which it doesn't rain here in the Tri-City. So, you know, we're from Washington State. If you're listening from somewhere else in the country, you think the Evergreen State. That was a big lie. It's not Evergreen here where we live in Eastern Washington. So
Ever Desert over here. And yet, we still got some rain. But I digress. The point of the track meet illustration is that there were different levels of preparation.
Yeah, and I probably did the least of the preparation. I mean, Jamie made us little bag foods and bottles of water and whatnot.
So his least amount of preparation started with he just had a chair and his jacket.
But I did have a really legit jacket on. Like, I knew it was raining, so I put on a jacket that you could, you know, throw me in a swimming pool and I might get out dry, at least on the upper half of my body.
So legit that the rain would roll down it and pool in his chair.
Well, yes, it was doing that. But then I also made a tactical error and I stood up at some point. I can't remember why. And then I came back to sit down and I looked at my chair and there was a small lake there. I wasn't sitting down any longer.
So he no longer sat. But the other two of us, I had on a rain poncho and it was rolling off my poncho, creating a pool in the chair. So, I mean, that was a user foul there for me. The young lady that went with us, one of Charlie's besties, she was super smart.
It was the eighth grader folks that outsmarted us.
And she had an umbrella and she had a chair and she positioned that thing so no rain was getting in that chair and she did not move. And she understood the assignment.
This was a big umbrella. I mean, this thing... And just picture the fact that she had like a small island of dryness around her. I think the grass was dry around her because of the superiority of this umbrella.
And she came to support Charlie just like we were. And as the Lord would have it, the meet was canceled.
Yeah, I actually went up to the athletic director, a friend of mine, and I acted huffy puffy for a second, but I was super happy. I wanted to see our girl compete, but in that kind of weather, I mean, folks, this is middle school. This is middle school. Like, we don't need to risk anyone's safety to make sure that the meet goes on. This is not the U.S. mail, right? Like, we can cancel it super easy.
Nobody has spikes. 50% wear deodorant. I mean, it's there's a lot going on.
I think we're fudging the 50%, folks, but I think 50% know of deodorant.
Right.
I don't know. We digress again. So we wanted to just share that story with you. And I mean, Jamie actually had packed food for us and water to take care of us. I mean, like, this was going to be fun. I was actually super excited and I was ready to endure the rain. And then it just went to a different level once we arrived to where it really started to pour. But we were ready. You know, we had our phones during the downtime to, you know, play on when our daughter wasn't competing. And it just made us think as we thought about being in this literal storm with water, the preparation that had taken place, and then things that we were doing to get through the storm to be in better shape than if we were not doing any of those things.
So today we're going to look at ways that we can care for ourselves and be equipped for the storm.
That's the first point we want to sit there and point out to you guys, is just the fact that when you're in a storm, and storms are going to come in life, we have to care for ourselves.
One of the top ways that we can do this is by getting good food and making sure that we're hydrated. You know, I've felt like I hadn't had a lot of control over my life in the last handful of years. One of the things that I could control is how much water I put into my body. So probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, I started carrying a water cup with me no matter where I went. And I would just fill that sucker up all day long. I would make sure my fridge at work had water. I would make sure that if I was home, I was refilling that. That was something tangible that I could control and do without a ton of thought, making sure I was hydrated.
Yeah. The other thing, and I've talked about it here on the podcast recently, is sleep, folks. I hope this isn't being like, oh my gosh, here he is talking about sleep again. Folks, it's that important. I'm listening to enough doctors that have done research on this to show the negative impacts on our lives when we get a lack of sleep and the positive impacts when we're getting good quality sleep. If you have listened to the Huberman Lab podcast, when this is coming out, he's going to be in the middle of a 6-part series with Dr. Matthew Walker. You got to tune into the Huberman Lab podcast. Bottom line, folks, you need 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep. And I'm not going to break all that down for you to describe that, because Dr. Huberman and Dr. Walker do a better job than I. But we need to sit there and make sure that we're getting quality sleep to help our brains and help our bodies, especially when we're in the middle of a storm.
Another thing that I wanted to make note of is that you should step away from the unnecessary in order to care for yourself. Now, when I wrote that down, Chris, he kind of raised his eyebrow, and I was just like, if you don't have time to make some changes that are necessary for you, you're not going to be able to care for yourself. So you uncommit yourself from certain tasks to make sure you can get home and get to bed at a good time. Or you stop eating fast food with everybody. You're going to have to step away from doing lunch with everyone and pack yourself something, or just make a commitment to make healthy choices. So you may be called to step away from what is unnecessary to care for yourself.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was faith. And I know this is different for everyone that's listening. Jamie and I have been pretty open the fact that we're Christians. And, you know, we follow the Bible, both the New Testament and the Old Testament. And someone who's kind of been a mentor, he's an author. He was a professor at Whitworth. He was on the podcast here, I think maybe episode, 24. It was a while ago. But his name's Dr. Jerry Sitzer. And when he lost his mom, his wife, and his daughter in an auto accident, on a faith perspective, he was struggling. He was struggling. How could an all-knowing, all-powerful God allow for his wife, his mom, and his daughter to die? And he says in one of his books, I think it's maybe A Grace Disguised, he says that he suspended faith. And what he means by that, he goes on to explain, he remained in the Christian community. I mean, these were his friends. So he still went to church. He still allowed the people in his church to help take care of him and his family, but he stopped trying to answer the big questions, like how could an all-powerful, all-knowing God allow this to happen? And so, you know, I've been at seasons of my life where I've just kind of suspended faith. I'm just like, you know what, right now I'm not going to try to figure out faith stuff. Maybe I'm not even praying, but I'm letting others, and I'm asking other people to pray for me. And that's kind of one of those things we can do, is ways that we can care for ourselves. If we're really struggling and we can't get our mind wrapped around a big question, pause and ask yourself, do you really have to answer this question right now? And then leaning on others, letting other people care for us. That's a way for us to care for ourselves. Just before I went to Deer Hollow, I had some friends reach out to me and say, how can I help? And one friend came and mowed our lawn for a while I was gone. Another friend came over and picked up a bunch of gutters I had ripped down and took them to the dump. But that's a way we can care for ourselves, is when people hit us up and say, hey, I want to help, us saying yes and then giving them a task that's going to make our burden just a little bit lighter.
When we're considering about being equipped for the storm, another tool we wanted to talk about, our section, is how to care for others. So we've talked about caring for ourselves. And when we look at caring for others, I'm going to repeat something I put in caring for ourselves, and it was stepping away from the unnecessary. If you want to be used as a tool to help other people and you have a packed schedule, there's no room. You're going to have to make some room and step away from unnecessary to be able to help. Now, what do I mean like that? What if your neighbor who you know is going through it really needs you to mow their lawn? And you have a certain way that you do your weekend, and you're going to add this in. You may have to stop doing something that you do on the weekend to serve them in that time and care for them. But when we're talking about being equipped, this is what I mean.
Maybe you like to go fishing or running or hunting, or maybe you have a podcast and your neighbor needs their lawn mowed or their fence stained and they're getting harassed by the HOA, and you delay. You don't not do those things. You just delay them, right? I'm going to lay it down for right now. Kind of like Jamie said, hey, I'm used to doing my weekend like this. What should I do right now? And we lay those down, we delay them, and we help others. I even sit there and think about it from a faith standpoint. You know, again, Jamie and I are Christians. What would Christ want me to do? Would he rather me go to church? If I have a packed schedule and like that's the only thing I can move around, go to church or mow my neighbor's lawn. Now, I don't want to use that excuse every week.
Bob, do you need your mom lawn mowed this week? What about you, Bill?
Yeah.
Anyone else on the street? Right about 8:45?
Everyone in the neighborhood's going to love me. No, I'm talking about there's times where that's the greater good. And serving other people, one, it's going to impact those other people's lives. But this is the reason why we have this as a point in the storms, is because it's going to help you too. The times that I'm benevolent, it causes me to feel better, to stand taller. It has a positive impact on me when I'm being benevolent of other people. But we wanted to break this down just in some different ways, to have some like actionable steps. What are ways? And y'all are smart people. You know how you can care for others, but we wanted to break it down into some different categories. And the first being tangible, which Jamie gave one example with the lawn mowing. Do you have any other examples, Jamie, for tangible?
I know a lot of times when you're looking at a person or a family and it's like, they're not asking me for anything. I don't know how I can help. Food can often be a help. And maybe it's you grocery shopping for them, or maybe it's you preparing a meal or organizing a meal train. But if they don't have to think about food for a minute, that could be a real blessing. Maybe it's gift cards because you know that they like a certain place or they're going to go to a certain place. You are tangibly helping this person or family to meet the food need that they need to care for themselves. You're caring for them in that way.
And I didn't write down a lot of notes for the next one on relational. Do you remember why we called it relational?
Well, it kind of goes hand in hand with stepping away from the unnecessary. I had written to be available.
Yes.
So maybe someone wants to connect on a phone call, or they would like to come over and have a conversation or take a walk with you or meet you for coffee. Being available was a relational way that we could care for others.
And I really had a number of y'all, some of you that are listening and just other folks, do that for me. You cared for me over the last year by getting together with me for coffee or lunch and listening to me. I've had a huge audience of folks that have both tangibly, but then have just sat with me and engaged me in relationship and have really built me up as a person and made me feel loved and in relationship. That's, you know, I think we're tribal people. We like to be on a team. And when you're going through a storm, being reminded of your tribe, being reminded of your team, I think is powerful. It can give you, again, more encouragement. So how can we do that for others? Like Jamie just said, we reach out to them. We offer to get together with them. We connect with them on different ways so that we can just let them know that they're loved.
Our last point that we had was...
Actually, I wanted to say something else.
I'm sorry. You looked at me like I should move
forward. I wasn't sure if you'd written down the other one either. So the other thing I wrote, folks, and I'm going to give an example of this is, you know, we have people that we're close with that we can be relational with, and we have the relationship already. I think there's times when we see other people going through storms, acknowledging them. There was a father in church today that had his little, probably what, 2-year-old son. Kid was cute as can be. And I mean, they stopped singing, and the young man's asking his dad, "Well, are they going to sing again, Dad?" And he's like, "Shh, son. Dad, are they going to sing again? Shh, son. Dad, are they going to..." It was so cute. And at the end of the service, I took a moment just to reach out and say, "Hey, Dad, you're doing a good job. I don't know this guy. We don't have a relationship. I wasn't giving him anything tangible, but I was just acknowledging that I saw him in that moment." And there's been other times in life. Do you have any examples of... Jamie's giving me the wide eye, like, "You're not supposed to send it back to me right now. I don't want the pass." I have another example. This happened for me a lot as a cop. This is some of the trauma that I've carried, is me sitting with other people and just acknowledging them and their pain. People I don't know, and I would carry their burden for 10 minutes, for 20 minutes, for an hour, until a chaplain or a family member got there to take over the burden carrying. And some of the most beautiful memories that I'll have, and also some really, really hard times, just because I was carrying some of their burden. So now we're going to get into point number 3, which is a really good one. Really good one.
It was keep it light.
Keep it light.
Add a sense of humor in there. Chris reflected a little bit earlier about track meets and the years that his parents went and watched.
Oh my gosh, yes.
The multitude of weather that they must have endured. And we went to one track meet that got rained out. And it's funny because they were the goats there.
Yeah. Yeah, they, you know, in high school, stuff doesn't get rained out. So in high school, the meet does go on. And I remember one of the years at State, it was pouring. I think I had this special like rain thing my dad had given me, maybe some police gear he had. I can't remember. All I know is I wore it during my warm up so I wouldn't be soaking wet. But my parents, rain or shine, were in the stands. And yeah, so as we sat there with watching our girl warm up for the shot put and getting ready for her 200 meter race, I was laughing out loud. I was laughing in the middle of the storm. I'm getting soaking wet, folks. This is not pleasant. And I'm laughing because I'm like, wow, this comes full circle, doesn't it?
I see you, God. I see what you did there.
Well played. Well played, big man. You know, through the last, I say year, but it's only been, I guess, like 8 months or whatever of me going through this PTS story, I've made the joke about myself. We're joking about something, and something about the word crazy comes up, and I'll make the comment, "Hey, I'm the only one that has the certifiable diagnosis." So, you know.
So he gets to make the joke, but I for sure cannot.
And I don't think I've ever said that to her. I did say that to her right here while we were getting ready for this. I've made the joke a number of times. She's laughed along with me, and it's been an us joke then. However, from my wife in the midst of this, I kind of just need her love and support. Like, I needed her to encourage me that, "Honey, you're not crazy. Like, you're injured. You know, this is a process for you to get better." And I know that is true. And then I also like to make light of life. I mean, we do this all the time. We used to call it the Chris and Jamie show, where we're just laughing about whatever.
Yeah. We were just joking about the champagne cocktail a little bit ago.
Yeah. I know Mom likes them. What movie is that?
Blast from the Past.
Blast from the Past. If you were born after whatever year, 1988, maybe you didn't see it. I guess people could have saw it when it was older. Mm-hmm. But folks, I don't know. And obviously everyone's humor has a different gauge. But for Jamie and I, in the middle of our storms that we've experienced, we like to laugh. we find some amount of humor. And sometimes we laugh to the point of almost peeing our pants, mainly Jamie due to a...
That's not kind. After four babies, you don't have a lot of control, so I don't even really want to go
there. No, I appreciate you giving me four children. So, here recently, I found a dude named Nate. He's a comedian. If you search for him, he is ridiculously funny. I can't remember his last name, but he's super clean. There's like no cuss words, but I mean, funny. And I was in our room literally rolling around laughing, and Jamie's kind of laughing at me like, how you doing there, babe? I was like, I'm doing good. So find ways to laugh. Obviously, each individual, each couple, each family, whatever the size of your unit, it's going to change. But we need to keep it light, because life is heavy enough as it is.
So the call to action today is to gather your tools so you're equipped for the storm. Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Marriage Mondays.
We want to hear from you. How are we doing here on the podcast, folks? There's a few different ways for you to communicate back to us. First and foremost, please follow us on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That will cause the next episode to pop up in your dashboard. You can also rate and review us if you're listening on Apple or Spotify. There's 5 stars waiting on the main page. We'd really appreciate a 5-star rating if we've earned 5 stars. Folks, if we haven't earned 5 stars, keep your stars. Instead, shoot me an email at chris@gravityct.com. Let us know how to make a better future Marriage Monday topics or guests for me to interview.
Remember, friends, getting married is easy. Staying married is real tough. So go and love well.